You can turn your Bibles to Psalms 37. Hallelujah. I'm going to share some things we've been in all week this week. It's just amazing. Psalms 37, verse 34. It says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. Notice that. Wait on the Lord. Now, most of us, if you've been around, if you've known the Lord more than 20 years, raise your hand. Then you have fulfilled the 11th commandment, wait on the Lord. How many of you have ever had to wait on the Lord? I don't know anything else we do these days, but wait on the Lord. That's number one thing that I believe everybody fulfills, whether they like to fulfill it or they don't like to fulfill it, is waiting on the Lord. So we all wait. I don't know anybody that doesn't wait. If they haven't waited, they hadn't been around very long. Anybody who has not waited on the Lord, you just haven't been around very long. Because everyone's going to wait. It's how we wait. And we've been talking a lot about how we wait. Amen? Now, the way he says to wait is this next verse. And he didn't say just wait on the Lord. He said wait on the Lord and. And. Everyone say and. Keep his way. So you got to keep his way while you wait on the Lord. Speaking of Moses, the children of Israel said they had not known my ways. They saw my acts. But just because you're a generation that will witness the acts of the Lord, we will witness the acts of the Lord. This is a generation going to witness probably more than any generation previous. So it's glorious. However, that whole generation witness his acts, but they didn't know his ways. And one of the greatest things they didn't understand, he said, they didn't understand how to mix faith with what I said to them. I told them they're going to the promised land. I told them there would be Hittites and Amorites and Canaanites and all the other ites and Jebusites. He goes, I told them there would be giants in the land. I told them the sons of Anak were there. I told them it was a land, though, flowing with milk and honey, but they only partially heard what God said, but they didn't keep their heart full. And because of that, they did not keep his way. And so guess what they had to do? Go wait on the Lord some more for 40 more years until the whole generation of unbelief died out. I don't want to wait 40 years. Do you? I want to go in. I want to possess. I want to multiply. I want to increase. I want the kingdom to increase, the kingdom to multiply. And I want to see all that he has for us. And I know there's the waiting, but we've learned that we wait by keeping his way. And by keeping his way, we keep his word. We keep those things he's entrusted to us. Amen. All right. Go to Mark 9:23. Mark 9:23 said, Jesus, I'm going to show you God's way today so you can keep it. Oh, if you don't keep his way, you have to wait longer. I don't want to wait longer. Amen. I want to wait. I want the minimum wait time for the maximum benefit. Amen. You're going to wait a lot if you don't do it God's way. How long do I have to wait? Are you sure you want to ask me that question? Because I know you just asked me that question. Since you asked that question, how long do I have to wait? You have to wait as long as it takes for you to understand God's ways and do God's ways. And if you don't do God's ways, you might wait a lifetime. You might wait a long time because you've got to keep his way while you wait. Shakabuya. Jesus said unto him, Mark 9:23, if thou canest, don't you love King James? Canest. If you canest, could you imagine talking like that? In that generation, in that culture, the way that they actually talk like that during that era. Thou canest believe. Jesus said unto him, if thou canest believe, all things are possible. Man, I've been knowing that verse for so long. I want the realm of the impossible. You want the realm of the impossible. In fact, God wants the realm of the impossible done. The Bible says in Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please him. He says the just will live by faith. So I'm going to tell you something, whether or not you believe you're pleasing God or not, if you're not walking by faith, I can tell you right now, it's impossible to please him. It's impossible to please him. So if you think about a lifestyle of faith, you know, you can have a lifestyle going to church. You can have a lifestyle of social relationships in church. You can have a lifestyle of doing things in church. And all of that void of faith, because faith is a lifestyle. Faith is exercised on a daily basis. And it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So it's a pretty interesting dynamic, because if we're not exercising faith, we're generally still looking for God to do something for us. But a lot of times we're exercising unbelief. We're either doing nothing, or we might be exercising complaining, doing a little bit of murmuring, a little wandering. All that is in the realm of unbelief, because faith doesn't really operate like that. Faith operates on a daily basis. So if we're living, it said the just shall live by faith. It is your life to live by faith. It's not a one-time event where you exercise, you live by it. And so without it, it's impossible to please him. And if it's impossible to please him without it, I think we should start doing it. Amen. Otherwise, we keep looking for him to do something on our behalf, but we don't get the results that we're looking for, because we're not living a lifestyle. We're not keeping his way. Well, sometimes we don't keep his way because we don't understand. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But if you have the understanding of it and you don't do it, wow. Amen. So I want the understanding. Thank God the Holy Ghost has given us the understanding of how to keep it. You got to do it. It's God's way. It's been his way from the beginning. Amen. How'd you like to be Noah? God tells Noah to build a boat. He says, a boat? What do I need a boat for? Well, there's going to be rain, Noah. Before Noah, water came out of the ground. It did not rain. So he tells him, yeah, it's going to rain, Noah. Rain? What do you mean it's going to rain? He says, water's going to come out of the sky. And says, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So he had to build a boat for 100 years. How'd you like to build for 100 years a boat and preach to people for 100 years? I would not want his job. I would not want his job. Got to preach for 100 years and rain is going to come out. No wonder only 8 people went in the ark. The rest of them thought he was crazy. He built a boat and everybody could see it. Says, what is that monstrosity? That's a pretty unique looking house there, Noah. Yeah, God told me to gather all the animals. And it's going to rain. This thing that I'm building, there was no boats before Noah's day. This thing that I'm building, it's going to float. You know, the elders of the city came to him and said, now, who told you this? And Noah said, God told me. Oh, that explains things. I could do that for the first year, 2 years, 3 years. How'd you like to do that your 25th year? The 50th year. The elders of the city died off. A new elder show up. Yeah, that's still that thing he's building. He still believes. That guy still believes it's going to rain. That's called living by faith. He's keeping God's way. I don't want that 100-year plan. Thank God I am not Noah. Everyone say, Father, thank you that we're not Noah. Hey, Noah, if you want to really look at it, when he stepped off the ark, he was the richest man on the planet. In fact, he owned everything. He owned the whole world. He was the original inheritor of the entire earth. Noah, he may have kept it for 100 years. Those guys lived a little bit longer than we do. But he kept it for 100 years. But when he stepped up, he said, yeah, it's all mine now, baby. Every bit of it. The whole earth. Every one of us just wants a little piece of the pie. He got the whole pie. All of it. Inherited the entire earth because he kept God's way. Whew. Wow, that is booyah. That's some good stuff. Abraham kept God's way. We're a generation. He's looking for somebody that'll keep his way. Now go back over to Romans. All things are possible to him that believeth. Now we're learning how to believe. You know, I remember I was listening to Gary Carpenter preach this message at one of the conferences before I started speaking there, and he so moved me that day. I was at a conference. I was in full-time ministry. I went out in this field, and I just wept. I mean, an intercession was on me, and they had this field behind the center where they were having the meetings, and I mean, I'm glad nobody was there, but I was just weeping, and I'm telling you, the Spirit of God fell on me, and the presence of the Lord come up around me, and the Lord speaks to me. It wasn't that booming, audible voice, but I could hear Him speak. He goes, "Would you like a definition of what it means to believe?" And I'm like, "What?" And I said, "Yeah." And it's what he said. I didn't understand that till this year, what he said to me back then. I really didn't understand. He said, "It's a state of seeing and saying that manifest Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now, I thought it was the seeing with my eyes, but really it was the seeing with my spiritual eye. I didn't know that. It was a state of seeing and saying, but I was looking out here in the natural, the state of seeing, and I was trying to discipline my natural senses to see what God sees, say what God says, but that's not what he was speaking. He didn't explain all that, of course, that day. You know, that's part of your course, your journey, you keep going, but now I realize it was a state of seeing and saying within the veil of the heart. This is where Abraham had to find. He had to end up moving into this veil. So look at this. Romans 10, go to verse 10. Look at this. "For with a heart..." With a heart, say, "With a heart, man believeth." With a heart, man believeth. With the heart, man believeth. Now, think about that for a minute. It says, "Unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessions made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." So, with a heart, man believeth. Now, if you think about that, when all the times you've ever tried to exercise faith, where are you located when you're trying to exercise faith? It's just huge important, because it's only taken me 15 years to drop down into the heart. I'm celebrating 15 years of ministry my next birthday. I have been in the full-time ministry for 15 years. Hallelujah. Had I known all that was involved, I may not have signed up, but here we are anyway, praise God. You know, God doesn't show you all that. Most time he'll just show you all the good. He'll come up on you and say, "Yeah!" He'll tell you all the stuff you're going to do just to get you to step out. Then when you step out, he says, "Oh, I got you there now." He goes, "Now follow me." It's not going to be quite as easy as you thought it was, but come on. But anyway, it says, "The heart, man believeth." There's a huge difference between operating from here, chest up. Because a lot of times when we've not been trained and developed, especially when we don't know how to move down into the heart or operate and function from the garden the Lord restored, then most of what we exercise faith is here. Because most of us are trained from day one to operate by our mind, will, and emotions. And so we naturally try to exercise faith from our mind, will, and emotions. The same thing when God originally told me a state of seeing and saying, well, that's where I tried to do, operate from chest up. Mind, will, and emotions. I tried to operate faith from here. But faith is not a product of your mind. Amen? That's why the enemy, when he comes to steal the word, he does not come to steal the word from your mind. The Bible says he comes immediately to steal the word. But most of you have been around for a while. The knowledge you possess from day one, you still possess now, because he has not come to steal the word from your mind. You still possess the knowledge, but he does try to steal it from that operation of the heart, which we don't know as much as we need to know about. Amen. All this trying to operate here could never really give a true birth to the kingdom of God. Faith could not truly be exercised because I was operating from the wrong place. What did he say? With a heart, man believes. Well, David said also, "Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable." A couple of verses before that, he said, "Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend up to get him, or who shall descend in the depth? But what saith thy word is very nigh thee." It's in your heart. So to truly keep God's way while we wait on the Lord, we have to keep what he says in our heart. That is not natural for you to do. You have to be trained for that. The most that I really ever heard about the heart was keep a pure heart before God. Every one of us, yeah, keep your heart pure, because a pure in heart will see God, so I keep my heart pure. But really, the heart of a man is the entire operation of the kingdom of God. Until we learn how to operate within, we operate without. We think we're operating in the kingdom, but we're operating without because we haven't learned to move within. So as you keep that in the heart, with a heart, man believeth. So have you ever really thought about, well, yeah, I believe in my heart. That is a process. That is something that has to be acquired. There's exercise of your faith. The number one single thing you'll ever do concerning true faith is have to move into the dimension of your heart. Your heart is located in the kingdom of God within you. It's a spiritual dimension. It's not talking about your natural. That one's going to go away. But this one within, the spiritual part of you, we have to move into that dimension. With a heart, man believeth. It's with a heart we exercise faith. So we move from here down here. We do that by faith. We do that by exercise, spiritual exercise. Let the communication of my faith become effectual by what? The acknowledging of every good thing that is within you. You see that? He's telling you how to do it. You acknowledge within. Boy, when you learn to do that, at first it's a little unusual. It's a little strange. How many of you have ever tried that and you felt a little strange doing it? The reason is because you're not accustomed to operating in that spiritual dimension. But as you begin to acknowledge like the Holy Ghost and acknowledge the living word, you begin to move into this dimension. When you start moving in and out of this dimension, we're going to start seeing the results that we're looking for. Amen. Now, I want you to go over to Luke 6. Luke 6:45, it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his what? Heart bringeth forth that which is good. Now, when you first read that, well, you know, I got a pure heart, so good things are going to come out of me. You know what he said in 1 Corinthians 13? He said, you know, it's possible for you to give all your goods and bestow them on the poor and not possess the kind of love that the kingdom has. He goes, you can give all your goods to feed the poor and still not possess love. Now, how is that possible? How is that possible to give all your goods this day to sell? He said to sell all that he has in 1 Corinthians 13 and give to the poor and still not possess love. When you think about that, if any one of you went and sold all that you had, cars, houses, stocks, bonds, investments, and then gave it all to the poor. And then Pastor Chuck walks up to you, because I wouldn't do it, and said, you know, that was a noble thing you did, but you still don't possess the love of God. You would slap him. The reason he was differentiating what comes out of man and what comes out of God's kingdom in man. Because there's two different realms there. Man can do a lot of good things. The problem is God's never asking man to do a good thing out of himself. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, not by might, not by human power, but by my spirit. He's not asking us to bring it out of ourselves. He's asking us to bring it out of the kingdom within. Those are two different realms. So what do you think that particular scripture is talking about? The good treasure of his heart bringing forth good things. You think it's talking about the goodness of your heart or the treasure of his kingdom within you? Now listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 5. John 5 verse 19. I want you to see what Jesus himself said. Then answered Jesus and said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Do you see that? That's Jesus talking. The Son, he could have, but he came to represent our covenant and our inheritance with God. So he himself had to be completely dependent upon the Father. He says, of myself, I can do nothing. I can only do what I see him doing. Do you think he's talking about what he sees him doing with these eyes or with that eye of faith? It's because he said it's a state of seeing. You got to be able to close your eyes in the natural, but see what God's doing in the kingdom. When you get close to him, those are the eyes he's going to develop. You close the natural eyes, but the eye of faith. See, I see a kingdom, because that's why his word, when God comes to you, he doesn't come and place his word in your heart. He doesn't put a W-O-R-D. He puts a living word with a living image in your heart. That's why Jesus taught in parables. And so that image is sown in the heart. So he says, a good man out of the good treasure. Now we know he's not talking about our own. And that's a big thing with God, because some of the things we try to do when we walk with God is we get really on fire for God. We get excited for God. And so we want to do something for God. Now, sometimes that wanting to do something for God without having been qualified by the Spirit or having seen what he wants to do, we bring it out of ourselves. Now, unfortunately, we have a lot of that going on in the church. We bring out of ourselves. That's not what he was saying. It's the good treasure. Note of the word he said, treasure. I like that word. Now, I want you to notice several things about this. The good treasure, where? That was in his heart. So there was a deposit of the treasure. As you know, Mark 4 talked about five major operations of the word. We had to hear the word of the kingdom. We had to understand the word of the kingdom. That's what we're doing, is understanding how the kingdom works. Then we receive the word of the kingdom into our heart. And he talked about the seed going in the ground. That's how much it's got to be received. It has to be planted within us. Now, I'm not talking about you grabbing your Bible tomorrow morning and reading it. I'm talking about a living word, a living treasure. You really want to know what that treasure is? The good treasure? The good treasure is riches in glory. Riches in glory. Everything Christ inherited on your behalf. Everything he inherited on your behalf is called riches in glory. It's power, it's riches, it's wisdom, it's strength, it's honor, it's glory, it's blessing, it's love, it's peace, it's joy. I hit this realm this week when I was in prayer. I hit this place of peace. I've had a lot of the peace of God. I'll tell you, my friends, I have. I've experienced a lot of it, but I hit this realm of peace. And oh, my. The things that we have to look forward to when we get to heaven. I literally thought I was standing in heaven. It was so awesome. That realm of peace. And he said, this is my peace. I said, Lord, I have experienced your peace, but I've not experienced this kind. I hit it, and then I went to take Carson to football practice, and all the parents kind of line up. I line up behind them. I kind of leaned back on this chain link fence. I had this chair and just sitting there, and then all of a sudden that came back down. It was probably an atmosphere at least 4 to 5 feet around me. I told Lord, if anybody walks up into this, they're going to know you're right here. They're going to know if you send anybody up into this atmosphere. Literally, the atmosphere of heaven came down. That same peace, I can't believe it. It was awesome. I mean, that kind of habitation's coming upon us. See, the Holy Ghost does that. He is the agency that was sent to take the riches and glory of everything Christ inherited. He wants you to experience the kingdom here. He wants you to experience now. He doesn't want this to be a cliche that I know him. He wants you to know him. He wants you to experience him. It's the Holy Ghost that causes that exchange, that transfer, that transmittance. And he's bringing treasures out of heaven. Ephesians says he blesses you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. But he wanted all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, whereby you have obtained an inheritance in heavenly places. You have an inheritance. How'd you do? Someone called you tomorrow morning and said, you have an inheritance. I just need you to come down this law firm and sign a few documents. You'd be down there in a heartbeat. You have obtained an inheritance. But you got to know how that inheritance transfers down. That's keeping God's way. It's not just the waiting on the inheritance. You got to keep His way. If you don't keep His way, you may never access the inheritance. You got to keep His way. He has a way by which that's going to come down. And Christ inherited all that on your behalf. I want you to see this, especially young people. I want you to see this. Go to Ephesians for a minute. Man, if I'd have known this when I was 20, whew, so much emphasis is placed, and I'm all for this, don't get me wrong, on natural education of the mind, because that's how the world turns, you know. But what about the education of the Spirit? Of how to receive of an unlimited supply of the Spirit if we ever learn. But to do that, you're not going to be able to take the education of your mind and in access an inheritance that's in the Spirit. There is an inheritance for you, but it's in the Spirit. But it's got to be transferred down. It's got to come down. And it's going to come right here into the veil of the heart. That's where the Holy Ghost is going to bring it. And that's where you got to learn to operate from. If you don't operate from the veil of the heart, you're going to miss the kingdom. You'll go back and do it your way. When you do it your way, you get man results. We're not looking in this church for man results. Don't, I've seen it. Does not appeal to me. Now, Ephesians 1, look at verse 3 for a minute. Especially you young men and women, listen to this really close. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places in Christ. It's in a heavenly place. Well, I'm so glad it's in a heavenly place, but I sure wish it was here on an earthly place, because this is where I need it. I'm glad I've got an inheritance. In fact, he goes on to say it. Look at this. Look at verse 11. In whom we have obtained an inheritance. We have obtained an inheritance. You have an inheritance. In the world, you may not have been born equal. Some are born in privilege. Some are not born in privilege. But in the kingdom, you have an inheritance. But we have to learn about that inheritance, and more importantly, accessing the inheritance, and more importantly, understanding the way in which that inheritance comes down. And you do have to apply yourself. Do you know who is presently in college right now? Raise your hand if you're in college. Who has a degree in college? Now, when you started college, you pretty much knew you were going in there for what? 4 years minimum, right? Never questioned it. I'm going to have to get an education. It's going to be a 4-year education. Now, when you were in college, was there ever a course? Because when I went to college, and that calculus professor that was just way out there in left field to me started talking, I'm going, is he from this world? Because everyone's looking around. I looked at the lady next to me. I said, do you have any idea what he's talking about? She goes, no, I don't listen to him. She goes, I go to the tutor. I just make an appointment with him. I said, well, can you make me an appointment? Because I'm not getting anywhere. Because nobody could understand him. He's talking at a level nobody understands. He understands it. In his mind, he probably thinks he's the greatest gift to humanity, but nobody could understand. But there are times when you go to college that you're learning something and it's going, I don't get it. That's the same way in the kingdom, except in the kingdom, when we don't get it, we just quit. Well, I didn't get it. Or I went to class 3 times. I went to the School of the Spirit class. I tried it 3 times, Pastor, and he didn't show up. You gave the God of the universe 3 sessions? You know, when you go to college, you were already programmed. I got 4 years of this to get a degree that will promise a job. You need to go to college. You need the education. I'm not knocking that. I'm differentiating the two. We don't give that kind of time to the spiritual education, so it's no wonder we operate so much in the natural. We do things in the natural because we don't know how to access the spiritual, and because we quit before we actually get in there, we don't understand what it's about. Well, if you quit the process of God, what are you going to naturally revert back to? Yourself. You're going to revert back to the natural ways of doing things. But God is trying to get us to do something supernatural. Without faith, it's impossible. If you can do it, you don't need Him. It's kind of like, God, this is what I'm going to do. Follow me. Just follow me. Oh, by the way, I could use your blessing on my plans for my life. God said, oh, I got something much greater, but you're not going to be able to do it. So how about following me? And I'll teach you how this works. So we have this inheritance in heavenly places. That Christ, when he ascended into the right hand of God, received on our behalf. And so he receives this inheritance on our behalf. And now he wants to download it. Now I want to show you something awesome. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, so notice what he says in verse 11. You've obtained an inheritance. Now notice what he talks about next. Verse 13. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed with what? The Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit of promise. Look at verse 14, what he says. Which is the earnest. He's your lawyer. He's the one that's going to cause the transaction to take place between the one who gave you the inheritance and how to get it. He's got to teach you how to get it because it's a spiritual inheritance, but you're a natural person, but you're also a spiritual person. So he's going to have to teach you how to get that inheritance. You're not going to naturally know how to receive an inheritance from a kingdom that's not of this world, but he was sent to teach you how to do that. And so he's the earnest of your inheritance. Notice that. Why? Because he brought it with him. He's the one's going to show us. And that's why we got to get close to him. We got to know the Holy Ghost. You got to know him. If you don't know him, you don't get in touch with him, you're going to miss the inheritance. If you miss it, you're going to revert back to doing it our way. Amen. God wants to do it his way. Keep my way and I'll exalt you. What did he say? To inherit the land. If you'll wait upon me, and if you keep my way, I'll exalt you to inherit the land. So his way is learning how he's going to bring that down into the earth. So watch this. Watch what he says here. Verse 17, he's praying. He says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, why is that important? Why is the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him important? Because without the spirit of wisdom and revelation, it's by revelation we understand how to access the inheritance. Without the revelation, we're not going to know how to access. So we have to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation that gives us insight into a spiritual kingdom that releases a spiritual inheritance, but it manifests in the natural. Everyone say booyah. So he prays, look, if you're gonna understand this, you're gonna have to have a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation. You have to have it. If you don't have it, you're gonna be back into your own saddle again. You're gonna be trying to access the kingdom with intellect. It won't work. Man, people have that analytical reasoning. Woo, that'll hurt you. Unless it's submitted to the Lord. So you can't access the kingdom with analytical reasoning. That's when somebody will come in and the whole life is just analytical, analytical. Everything's, and men are just really good at this. Women tend to be more in tune because they move more from the heart and man moves from the mind. And so man has that analytical reason. Well, I don't get this. I'm not connecting. That's right, because you can't connect God right here. That's not where you're connecting with this God. You got to connect to him from the heart. See, that's why I said you got to move from the head down into the heart if you're going to be successful with the Lord. Amen. Now, watch what he says here. The eyes of your understanding, verse 18, be enlightened. Enlightened. Notice those eyes. What did he say? A state of seeing and saying. He's not talking about your natural eyes, your spiritual eyes. the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. You may know what is the hope of his calling. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You got to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You've got an inheritance. It'll take the spirit of wisdom. It'll take the spirit of revelation. It'll take keeping God's way. But notice what he said there. That you may know what is the hope of his call. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Because he inherited all that on your behalf. What all did he inherit from me? I'll give you seven big ones. Worthy is the Lamb, Revelation 5 says. To have received power. What's the next one? Riches. What's the next one? Wisdom. What's the next one? Strength. Honor, glory, blessings. That's a lot of stuff right there. He says that you may know the riches of his inheritance in the saints. He also said that you may know what? The hope of his calling. You know Jesus had a calling? You know, he's talking to saved people now. Already in the book of Ephesians, they've been saved a long time. That's a very deep book. He's praying now that all you saved folks would understand Jesus' calling. What's the hope of his calling? What do you think he's up there making intercession day and night for? Well, he's just making intercession to get me to heaven. He's got a whole lot more plan for you than to get you to heaven. He's got a whole plan. It's a spiritual plan. The hope of his calling is for what he inherited for you there. All the spiritual blessings in heavenly places to come download here. To come down into the earth. He wants it down here. He wants that manifestation of riches and glory into the earth. We want it. He wants it. What's the problem? He's got to move it through us. See, you got to get over the notion that he's just going to throw it on you, or he's just going to manifest it out there somewhere, or just one day it's just going to show up. You got to get rid of that. That's not his way. You're going to be interacting with him. He's going to bring it down into you spiritually, and then he's going to manifest it through you into the natural, and he'll turn that spiritual inheritance. And he'll manifest it in the natural. He'll manifest it in power. He'll manifest it in wealth. Amen. That's why he said a good man out of the good treasure. See, the treasure's coming down by way of the Holy Ghost. He brought the treasure down. He deposited treasure. Boy, I walk around there and say, oh, Father, my heart is full of riches and glory. Everyone say, Father, fill me with riches and glory. Fill me. See, until the riches and glory or the treasure of heaven gets down into your heart, you're going to be empty by way of manifestation. That's why the enemy's coming to steal what's in your heart so it doesn't manifest into the earth. That's why we must understand the dynamic of the heart, because it comes down into and then through. Now, I'm going to show you this. I showed you this before. I go to chapter 3 of Ephesians. 2 Corinthians 4 says this. It says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Because you're a natural being. But really you're a spiritual being first. Isn't it amazing we're spiritual beings, but we don't put the priority of emphasis on training our spiritual man. So when we start hearing spiritual things, we check out. You know what check out means? It means like this. When you start talking about spiritual things, we go, I got a football game to walk out. Is he going to close by the time the football game starts? Or that kind of thing. Think of how much time we've given to educate our natural senses. What if we gave that kind of time to educate our spiritual senses? You would be a lot more in tune with the Spirit. You would understand the realm of the Spirit. You would understand a whole lot more about it because you simply have given your time to understand the dimensions of God. Amen? But God requires you believe it before you see it. That's the hard one. See, our natural senses can touch, taste, feel, and smell. But God doesn't let you see the inheritance until you believe it. And where does he say you're going to believe? You believe in the heart. That means if you're going to believe, you're going to have to hold something there. Because that's where the treasure gets deposited. You got to hold it in there. And you got to keep it. And then the Holy Ghost will manifest it. The good man out of the good treasure. So the good treasure of his heart. Oh, fill me, Holy Spirit, with riches and glory. Fill my heart. See, your heart's the garden of the Lord. It's the ground by which he plants the kingdom. Fill me with the treasures of heaven. Fill me with riches and glory. Fill me up. Fill me up. Fill me up. Fill me up. Let me tell you something. What's going on in your heart is what your future is going to entail. As a man thinketh where? Isn't it amazing? In his heart. How do you think in your heart? I thought with my mind. Your heart can do a lot of things when you get in tune with it. Amen. Your heart, by the way, all the scientists, especially in this generation, have discovered the unique power of the human mind. What's God's given and how we use like 5 to 10% of it. I wonder if any spiritual scientist could ever discover the unique power of the human heart and exactly what happens with the heart and the realm, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Because what goes on in here, the devil knows it. He knows it really well. That's why he's not nearly interested in what's in your head, but he's very interested in your heart, because he knows the heart is the birthing center of all things. He knows that. He knows it more than we do. The mind's not the birthing thing center. The heart is the birthing center of all things. It's the dominion mechanism, whatever goes on in here. You know, Oprah Winfrey recently had something. She had this thing, they called it The Secret. How many of you heard about The Secret? Raise your hand. She had all these people on there, and they were all excited about it, and they all discovered something about their success. I mean, they couldn't wait to talk and share their secret. And this was the secret. They realized that whatever was going on inside them, whatever they could keep inside them, it would manifest in the earth. So they realized if they would keep good things for a long enough time, and even Oprah said, this is the secret of who I am. She goes, I always keep my future inside me. And they would all say that we've learned that whatever goes on inside will manifest outside. Well, my God, they woke up to the dominion mechanism. Because God originally gave dominion to man. But here's what it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring, but an evil man will out of the evil treasure. Listen, you can bring treasures of the world or you can bring treasures of the kingdom. It all depends on who's downloading in your heart and who owns your heart. God did not come when he came to save you. What's the part of you he got back? Your heart. When he came to restore the Garden of Eden, what did he come to restore? Your heart. Left you in the body, said we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Leave them in their body, but get their heart back. God had to have your heart for the kingdom of God to come back into the earth. God restored your heart. That's why he said, give me thine heart. You know how many times God asked for your heart? Well, you know why he wants your heart? Oh, I give you my heart. No, he wants more than you just say that during worship. He wants the operation of your heart. He wants to own your heart and what's going in and out of your heart. He wants to fill your heart with riches and glory so he can manifest the kingdom of God in the earth. He's got to have your heart. Oh, my God, and how we live our life bypassing its operation because we've never focused in enough to understand it. You know, the human mind, you leave it alone, what happens? You know, if a child does not have education, what happens? Ignorance is the result. Can't read, can't write. Can't function in society that demands intellect to operate. If you don't feed, it won't work. What about the heart? If you're not feeding it, do you really think you're going to get a harvest from it? The heart is a great, great opera. It's greater than I've ever known. I wish I'd have known this. I only woke up to it this year. I said, how big is this realm? He goes, it's the realm, this way he said to me, where all things are possible. He goes, it's the realm where the true belief center takes place. It's the realm of my planting. And if you can carry it within, I'll manifest it without. But if you think that's easy, you're going to wake up and find your enemy real quick. But he won't come with a little horn on his head and I'm coming to steal your word today. I'm coming to steal your word, snatch. No, he'll come. He'll get you busy. All of a sudden, you decide you're going to walk in the kingdom next week. You don't have 5 minutes free time to yourself. Nowhere. You're so busy. Or he'll send a boatload of trouble just to get you discouraged. Anything to get you out of learning what's going on in here. Because if you ever birth something from the realm of your heart and understand what Moses and Noah and Abraham and the great men and women of God had all found out, that it was impossible to please a God without faith, and faith originates in the heart, and it's with the heart man believes, not the head. And if you ever realize how to hold something in that word release in the realm of the heart, when I learned to hold and meditate from the heart when he's first teaching me, I had no idea. What'd he say? When you pray, go to Mark 11, verse 22. Young men and women, listen to this. You'll learn something valuable. Be of great importance to your life when you start accessing God at your age. And if you could learn to draw down riches and glory into the earth now, what you could do with a lifetime of faith. You're called to live by faith, a lifestyle. You notice why he said a lifestyle of faith? It would take faith. Faith is the only catalyst that can access riches and glory. Faith and the Holy Spirit working together. You got to have the Holy Spirit and you have to have faith. There's no other way. You're not going to reach up and grab something down with your hand. You're not going to reach up and grab something down with your mind. But your faith can reach up and grab it and pull it down. Mark 11, verse 22, and Jesus answering, have faith in God. Or if you want the preacher version, have faith in God. Verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea. Most of those mountains in the beginning are the ones within you. If you don't move the mountains within, you can't move the mountains without. Be thou removed, and the mountains are in your belief system. Be thou cast into the sea. Look at this. Notice what he says, shall not doubt in his heart. Where he said you have to believe, believeth in thy, with a heart man believes. He says, shall not doubt in his heart. How do I get doubt out of my heart? Because when I feel doubt, I sense doubt in my head. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to this very carefully. This is not a hindrance. Doubt up here is not a hindrance to you receiving anything from the kingdom. You're always going to feel something going on up there. It's what's going on in here. Quit worrying about what's going on up here. It's what's going on inside is the big part. He didn't say doubt in your mind. He said shall not doubt in your heart. How do I get doubt out of my heart? I don't know. How do I get it out of here? I've tried to get out of mine. I cast it down. I cast it down. I cast it down. I cast it down. Because you're still operating up here. You can cast down all day. It's the doubt here. I had to learn this. You know how you get the doubt out of your heart? You receive a living promise of the Lord through a training by the Holy Ghost. You learn to keep that and you treasure your treasure. When the Holy Spirit brings the treasure down, you're going to have to treasure that more than anything in the earth. If you don't, you'll lose it. But if you treasure your treasure and realize what he put in me is more important than anything else in my life, because this is my future. I've got to keep my future with all diligence. I got to keep my heart with all diligence. I treasure my treasure. I meditate upon it. I keep it. I meditate upon it. That word will release in your heart if you'll learn to keep it. Once it releases, listen to this, get this part. The word itself has faith and hope in it, and it'll release in your heart. When it starts releasing, it will drive the doubt out of your heart. You don't have to drive doubt out of your heart. That word will drive it out. if you learn to operate from the veil. My calling, as I understand it now, is to teach people to operate from the heart. And it's only taken me 15 years to get there. But if I can teach somebody to operate, when I'm just learning myself, we're all in together. But if I can teach people to operate from the heart, we can learn how to move the mountains. Because faith is a product of the heart. Of the heart. I'm going to give you one more and then we're done. Same verse. Now look at this. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire. Anybody got any desire in here? You know, the first thing we do when we have a desire, we go about figuring out how we're going to make that desire happen. You ever notice that? You know why? Because we don't know how to get heaven to make that desire happen. So we go about to try to get us. But when you're making your desire happen, it's not going to ever require any faith. Your desire should be way above you. It should be way above your ability to produce. Way above. Therefore, I say unto you, this is good preaching. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. Now listen to me very carefully and we'll close. Believe you receive and you shall have them. Now, that's the only way I can do it here. Let's just say that this bottle represents riches and glory. But there's something very specifically I need from riches and glory. This liquid substance right here represents a spiritual inheritance that's got to manifest into the earth, right? It says, when I believe I receive and I shall have, that's two different things going on there. Believe you receive is not for, you're going to be God for a minute. He hands it to me. Oh, I've received it and I have it. No, you got to believe you receive it first, and then you shall have. How did we receive? He brings it into the heart. The Holy Ghost downloads it into the heart. So what happens? We go up, and we pray, and then God downloads it into the heart. I got to get it within. We won't have it going out right now. How about that? Let's just, we'll just leave you with the image of it going out. All right. I mean, I can have it go out if you want to see it, you know, but see, you got to get it in of a spiritual inheritance, but then you hold it, you keep it. It's planted within your garden. Then the Holy Ghost brings it out. When he does, out of your belly flows rivers. He starts manifesting. He creates it and manifests it, materialize it in the natural. My friends, if you ever, ever learn to get God to do that one time for you, your whole life will be a lifestyle of faith. If you don't, you'll constantly revert back to your own self. You'll constantly revert back to just waiting on God without the lifestyle of faith that's involved with it. And you won't ever go to believing for more, for more, for more. All we'll do is just come to church. But just imagine if we can literally pull something down from riches and glory, hold it, and have it manifested. What's that going to do for you? Confidence in God.